Several years ago, I received a letter from the district superintendent of the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. And in that letter, he recounted the following story. He wrote this: a medical missionary reported this story at his home church in Michigan. While I was serving at a small field hospital in Africa, I traveled every 2 weeks by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This required camping overnight halfway. On one of these trips, I saw two men fighting in the city. One was seriously injured, so I treated him and witnessed to him of the Lord Jesus Christ. I then returned home without incident. Upon arriving in the city several weeks later, I was approached by the man that I had treated earlier. He told me that he had known that I carried money and medicine. He said, "Some friends and I followed you into the jungle, knowing that you would camp overnight. We waited for you to go to sleep, and we planned to kill you and take your money and the drugs. Just as we were about to move in to your campsite, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards." I laughed at this point, and I said that I was certainly all alone in the jungle that night. The young men pressed the issue. "No, sir, I was not the only one to see the guards. My five friends also saw them, and we all counted them. It was because of those guards that we were afraid and left you alone." At that point in the church presentation in Michigan, one of the men of the church jumped up and interrupted the missionary. He asked, "Can you tell me the exact date when this happened?" The missionary thought for a while and recalled the date. The man in the congregation then told this side of the story. "On that night in Africa, it was morning here in Michigan. I was preparing to play golf. As I put my bag into the car, I felt the Lord leading me to pray for you. In fact, the urging was so strong, I called the men of the church together to pray for you. Will all the men who met that day to pray with me please stand?" The men who met that day to pray stood together. There were 26 of them. Wow.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I received an email about 2 weeks ago from a member of our church. And in that email, the person expressed to me that they were struggling concerning some issues regarding prayer. This person is a strong person of prayer and believes in prayer, but they were struggling with prayer. The person expressed in the email that they've always prayed about everything, but lately they were thinking that maybe they should not. They wrote, "Who am I, Pastor, to think that I have the right to ask God for anything? God has his plan, he is sovereign, and he's going to do what he's going to do. When I pray, some of my prayers are answered and some are not answered. When my prayers are answered, was it just because it was God's plan all along and I was just asking for the right miracle at the right time? God has his plan, and who am I to think that I can change God's mind? Maybe my prayers should be more listening for God to speak, asking for guidance, asking for forgiveness, and thanking him rather than asking him for things, rather than intercession or supplication. This is what my mind is struggling with, the person wrote. Maybe I should listen more and ask less. Now, I want to ask you, have you ever struggled with kind of issues like that, with prayer? I mean, these are real issues. And I think when we think about prayer, and can we really help people with prayer? Can we really? Does it make a difference? Well, this morning, I want you to take your Bibles and open them up to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. We have been studying the Sermon on the Mount. And you remember in that sermon, Jesus is giving his disciples principles to live by, kingdom principles to live by. And I don't know, and as we've gone through, and the sermon's recorded in chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew, and maybe you have noticed that as we've gone through this, there's a lot of this sermon, or there's a lot in this sermon about prayer. There's a lot about prayer. In fact, I counted the verses, and if I counted correctly, I think there's 111 verses in these three chapters. And out of those 111 verses, there are 22 verses that deal with prayer. That's almost 20% of Jesus' sermon has to do with prayer. And you know what? If we are ever going to live according to God's kingdom principles, it's going to take prayer. Prayer is important, folks. Prayer is essential for our Christian lives and for Christian living. And this morning, we're going to look at verses 7 through 12 of chapter 7. The first five of these verses deal with specifically with prayer, and that's going to be the major part of the sermon. The verse 12, I can't skip that verse. My wife told me I couldn't skip that verse. It's the golden rule. And we've got to look at that. And that's what kingdom living's about. It's a kind of a summary of kingdom living. But the first five verses deal with prayer. So we want to look, first of all, at the practice of prayer. The practice of prayer. And in verse 7, we see the commands of prayer, the commands of prayer. It says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. These are the commands of prayer. Ask, seek, knock are all imperatives. That means they are all commands. These are commands. They are commands to pray. They are all in what is called the present tense, which means that this could be actually translated, ask and keep on asking and asking and asking. Seek and keep on seeking and seeking and seeking. Knock and keep on knocking and knocking and knocking. In other words, these commands are there to tell us, you know, don't give up when it comes to prayer. Don't give in when it comes to prayer. Don't get discouraged. Persist in prayer. I'll tell you why that one reason that's important is because we have an enemy. And one thing the enemy, Satan, will try to do is to get believers to be discouraged in prayer, to get believers to give up on prayer. He'll come and he'll say something like, you know what? Prayer doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. Or, you know, prayer is just a waste of time. You know, God's sovereign. God's going to do what he's going to do. So why pray? Why pray? Doesn't do any good anyhow. I'm going to tell you, why pray? Let me tell you one reason why to pray. Because you are commanded to pray. We are commanded to pray. Ask, Jesus says. Seek. Knock. Those are commands to pray. Those are commands to pray. what he's saying here is he's saying that we are to pray and keep praying no matter what. That's what Jesus says. And I thought of that, a verse of scripture came to my mind. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. And Samuel's speaking to the people. And he says these words, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in the good and right way." Samuel says, listen, to not pray for people is a sin against the Lord. He says, far be it from me, that I would sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Prayerlessness is disobedience, because we are commanded to pray. We're commanded to pray. Look with me at the elements, though, of prayer. The elements of prayer. Again, in verse 7, he uses the words ask, seek, and knock. A.B. Simpson, who is the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, wrote, "The various degrees and forms of prayer are expressed well by the three words ask, seek, and knock." Glasgow, in his commentary, says that the use of ask, seek, and knock stresses the persistence and sincerity required. Other conditions are required for prayer also, right? I mean, we're to pray in faith. We're to pray according to God's will. We're to pray and make sure there's no unconfessed sin in our life. There's other requirements for answered prayer. But one of these, Glasgow says, is the condition is persistence, which reflects one's commitment to the power and effectiveness of prayer. Do you believe prayer works? I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian, you better believe it. It's true. Prayer does change things and makes a difference. So he says, ask. And again, this speaks of persistence in prayer, of intercession and supplication. Intercession, you're praying for others and their needs. Supplication, we're praying for our own needs. We're asking. And this, the word ask is not the regular word for prayer in the Bible. It is just the regular word to ask. You ask somebody for something, that's this word. And we're commanded, ask, ask, ask. C.H. Spurgeon, commenting on this, states, listen to this, "Whether we like it or not, asking is a rule of the kingdom." Whether we like it or not, asking is a rule of the kingdom. Somebody says, but if God knows our needs and he knows the needs of others before we ask him, why ask? Well, I've already stated the first reason, because we're commanded to ask. We want to be obedient to God, so we ask. Secondly, when we pray about something and ask God, when God answers, we will be more prone to what? Give him praise and give him thanks. So ask. A third reason for asking is because God has, listen to this, ordained to use our prayers to help others. Can you believe that? Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He was in Asia and had gone through hell on earth. He said, I was at the point of despair and I was at the point of death. But you know what he says to the Corinthians? He says, you guys, help me through your prayers. You say, how does that work, Pastor? I have no clue. Absolutely. I don't know. But I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible, when I pray for you, when I go through the people of this church and pray for people, and my prayers are just little, feeble little prayers. I don't know how to pray with the big words and all that kind of stuff. But when I pray and say, Lord, help them, I believe it does. Somehow that helps you. Somehow it helps my family and my kids when I pray for them. Somehow it helps me when I pray. So it helps He's ordained to use your prayers to help other people. That's why we should pray. Number four, we should pray because in prayer we express our dependence on God. We are utterly dependent on God. Amen? Prayer is our declaration of dependence on Him. If I don't pray, you know what I'm saying? God, I can handle this today. I can handle today. I'll tell you, I can't handle 1 second without the Lord. And that's why I have to start off. That's why you have to start off your day and just, even if you just say, Lord, please help me through the day. Please fill me with your Spirit, Lord. I can't live this life in my own flesh. Help me, Lord. We have to pray because we are showing and declaring our dependence upon Him. And number five, we pray, we ask, because prayer prepares us for the proper use of the answer. When God answers, we're prepared when we've prayed. Remember this. Prayer sometimes changes circumstances. Prayer always changes us. Hear that? You got it? Prayer sometimes changes the circumstances. When I pray, sometimes God changes things. But when I pray, it always changes me. It always changes me. So ask. You know what James says? You have not because what? You haven't asked. That's why Jesus says in John, he says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and it shall be given you, that your joy may be full. Ask. Seek. See, in prayer, we're seeking. But who or what are we seeking? Well, first of all, when we pray, we are seeking God. Right? We are seeking the Lord in prayer. That's part of prayer. You're seeking Him. That's the psalmist says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Seek Him. We do that in prayer. Isaiah said, seek the Lord while He may be found. How do you do that? Next phrase, call upon Him while He's near. That's prayer. We are seeking God in prayer. When we pray, we're seeking Him. We're seeking His kingdom. You remember, this word seek here in our text this morning is the same word that's used back in chapter 6, verse 33, when it says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Same word. You see, when we are in prayer, we're seeking His kingdom. We're seeking God's purposes. We're seeking God's will. You see, prayer is not about, I mean, maybe I make it this way, but it's not this. It's not about getting my will done in heaven. It's about getting heaven's will done on earth. That's what prayer's about. Seeking God. Seeking His kingdom. Seeking His purposes. Seek. That's what prayer is about. Asking and seeking. And knocking. Knock. Knock. Knock and keep on knocking. In prayer. Knocking implies, I think, a desire to be invited in for personal contact. It may imply a desire to be in fellowship with God. But when I think of knocking, I think of kind of a closed door. Now, this is kind of a paradox here. I really kind of wrestled with this because I think God has an open door policy in prayer. I mean, we can go right into God's throne room anytime. He has an open door policy. But you know what, folks? Sometimes we're praying about something and there's a closed door. Now, again, just because a door's closed doesn't mean it's not God's will. You hear that? Just because the door is closed, it doesn't mean it's not God's will. Sometimes we have to keep knocking at that door, that closed door, and keep on knocking. I think closed doors sometimes are God's invitation to us to come to Him in prayer and keep knocking. Now, and I believe you knock at that door until God tells you to quit knocking. Now, sometimes He does that, doesn't He? The Apostle Paul came and knocked at the door and said, remove this thorn from me. And God, the door was closed. He knocked again, remove this thorn from me. Knocked again, remove this thorn. Finally, God said, you know what, don't knock anymore. I got a different answer here for you. My grace is sufficient for you. But I'll tell you what, some closed doors, I'm going to knock and knock and knock and until God tells me to quit knocking. But I'll tell you what, those closed doors drive me to God. Drive me to God. The elements of prayer: ask, seek, knock. Now look at the promises of prayer. Look at verse 8. He says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, what? Shall be open. You see, that little four, that tells us some reasons are going to come. And the reasons are in the form of promises. God promises that you're going to get some results when you pray. Now, He starts off, for everyone. Now, this is good, folks. Prayer is the privilege of every believer. Did you hear that? You, I don't care if you're a teenager. I don't care if you're a child. If you are saved, you can pray and talk to God. You don't have to be Billy Graham. You don't have to be John MacArthur. You don't have to be Beth Moore. Every believer, every person in this church that's saved here today, and I can't see your hearts, but if you have Christ in your heart, you have the privilege of prayer. We have somebody that just came to know the Lord a couple weeks ago. And that person has the same privilege as you do. He can go to the Lord, right to the throne room of God and pray. For everyone who asks, receives. Now, that mean everything I ask, I'm going to get. It doesn't mean that we receive everything we ask for. God can't do that. Do you know why? Because sometimes we ask for dumb stuff. Yeah, some of you said that's right, and some of you, amen in your heart. But we do. Sometimes we ask for things that aren't good for us, and God can't give them to us. You know, just like your children. Your children might have asked you for things, and you know what? You could not get. You wanted to bless them, but you can't give it to them because you know that wouldn't really bless them. That would hurt them. I remember when my kids were little kids, and I made mistakes. When they would come down in the morning, I would say, what would you like for breakfast? That's a wrong question to ask. Chocolate, all this stuff, pie, cake. So I changed my address and say, what would you like for breakfast? Would you like cereal, or would you like eggs and bacon, or God can't give us everything we specifically ask for, because sometimes we ask for things that wouldn't be good for us. But He does promise us that when we ask, you'll receive. What do we receive? We'll receive blessings from God. We will receive the blessings of God in abundance. How do I know? It's a promise of God. He says, you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. I'll tell you, friend, if you seek God with all your heart, he says, you will seek me and you will find me. If you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. I will be found by you, he says, if we seek. We come to him in prayer and we're seeking the Lord. I'll tell you what, he will open himself up to you. He will let you know him like you've never known him before. He promises, if you seek, you will find. When we seek him too, we seek the Lord and his purposes and his will. He will reveal himself and his plan to us. He'll reveal that to us. He says, call upon me. This is God. Call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. My, oh my. What we miss out on when we don't seek the Lord in prayer. Amen? And knock. 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 And the door will be open and it'll be opened unto you. Now again, not always the door that you knock on will be open. You know, for 25 years, excuse me, Lord, open up that field for us over there. Come on, Lord. Open up that field. Make the people that own that field sell it to us, Lord. 25 years. I still felt, we got to pray. We prayed and prayed and prayed, and guess what? God didn't open the door. But guess what he did? He opened the window. On this side. We knocked. And he said, keep on, I feel he, keep on knocking. And it'll be open to you. Not always the door that you knock on is going to be open. Sometimes he opens a window on that you don't even know about or you can't even perceive in your life. He knows what's best and he opens it up to you. Folks, that's the promises of prayer. Why don't I pray more? Why don't you pray more? I'll tell you. And you know what? The basis of this whole thing, the basis of prayer. You see it down in verses 9 through 11. 9 through 11, he says, or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a snake? He won't give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? The basis of our prayer is our relationship with God. Our relationship with God. Jesus gives this analogy. Keep that window open. God doesn't close those windows. Jeez. People will do that to you sometimes. That's our beloved trustee, Basha. But this, the basis of our prayer is a relationship. Christ brings this out with this analogy. He says, listen, fathers, I mean, if your son or daughter asks you for something good, asks you for a loaf, you're not going to give them a stone. If they ask you for a fish, you're not going to give them a snake. I mean, any decent father wants to bless his children. Amen? Amen? Any decent father wants to give his kids good gifts. And he says, listen, and he's arguing from the lesser to the greater. If you, being evil, if you being a part of a race that is fatally and fundamentally flawed, if you who are sinful know how to give good gifts to your kids, underline these words, how much more? How much Say it with me. How much more will your Father that is in heaven give good gifts to you if you ask? If you ask. Now, folks, here's the answer to the question, who am I? Who are you to ask God for anything? Let me tell you who we are. We're children of the King. Amen. We're children of the King. We're children of God. He is our Heavenly Father. And you know what? Jim, you sang it. And Tracy and guys, you sang it. Jeremy, He loves us so. He loves us. He loves us as a father loves his children, wants to bless his children. And that's why we can go to God and pray. That's why we need to take our requests to the Lord, because he wants to bless us. He wants to give us good things. But it's kind of like this. He's got a chest of blessings that he wants opened up and wants to pour out on us. But it's kind of like a safety security box. Is that it? It's a safety deposit box in the bank. Some of you rich people have one of those. And you know that at the bank, there's two keys, right? You have one, and the bank has one. And the only way you can get into that box is what? If you have two keys. You turn one, and then you come, and you turn the other. And then you have all those blessings. Guess what, folks? Our Heavenly Father has turned the key. He's turned the key in the box of blessings. And we have the other key. The key is prayer. The key is asking. And he's turned the key and he said, turn the key. Because I want to pour out these blessings in your life. I want you to ask and I want you to receive. I want you to seek and I want you to find me. I want you to knock and I'm going to open up blessings to you. You can't even believe. Amen. But it comes through prayer. It comes through prayer. The practice of prayer. Now, before we end, I got to do verse 12. The practice of the golden rule. The practice of the golden rule. Look at verse 12. It says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. In everything, that's comprehensive. It means nothing is to be excluded from this rule. Therefore, I think it points back to the whole sermon. I don't think it's just the immediate context. I think it's the whole Sermon on the Mount that we've been studying. This is how we're to live out the kingdom life. Treat people the same way that you want them to treat you. We, listen, should take the initiative. In fact, not should take, we must take the initiative in this. Must take the initiative. This doesn't say treat people the way they treat you. No, you take the initiative and treat them the way you want people to treat you. Do I want people to love me? Love people. Do I want people to be kind to me? Be kind to people. When I'm having a bad day, you ever have a bad day? When I'm having a stinking bad day, and I want people to be patient with me and understanding. Do I want that? Yeah. When somebody's having a bad day, be patient with them. Try to be a little bit understanding. They may be going through a battle you don't even know about in your life. When I mess up, do I want people to forgive me? Forgive others. Take the initiative. This is not, and folks, listen. We treat people the way we want them to treat us. But not necessarily will they treat us this way. Do you hear that? There's no guarantee here. I might treat somebody with love, and they might spit in my face. They did with Jesus. So there's no guarantee. We're not treating them that way, so they will treat us this way. We're treating them that way because we're told to treat them that way. And let's face it, if you are a kind person, and more than likely people will respond with kindness many times. If you're patient, they might be a little bit more patient with you. But there's no guarantee of that, and that's not the reason why we do it. We do it because this is the way people in the kingdom live. Now, I want to end today with a quote. I want you to listen real hard with this one, okay? Just give me your attention. It's not a long quote. And this is a quote from Mother Teresa. It's a little piece that she wrote, and the title of it is, "It's Between You and God." Listen to this. Listen. "People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you may win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone may destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, listen, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It never was between you and them anyway. Be blessed." Folks, in kingdom living, we've got to pray and we've got to practice the golden rule. We've got to pray and treat people the way we want people to treat us. Why? Because it was never between us and them anyway. It's between us and God. Be blessed. Lord, we just bow before you. Thank you for this wonderful encouragement that you give us to pray. Lord, I don't understand. Prayer to me is just such a mystery. I don't understand the ins and the outs and how it works. That's way above my pay grade. I don't understand, Lord, but I believe your word that through prayer, you have ordained to work. So, Lord, teach us to pray. And, Lord, it's between us and you. Help us to treat people the way we want them to treat us. No matter what, no matter if they respond or if they're nasty, it doesn't matter, Lord, because it's between you and us. Help us, God, to remember this. Help us to live out these kingdom principles. In Jesus' name we pray.